This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It is May 4th, 2020. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch.
Hi.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, the upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle calendar, anything you want to know. It's all about bicycles. If you have a comment, you can comment on Bicycle Talk on the Facebook page, or you can email me at bicycletalk@gmail.com. We are recording our shows on Mondays now using Facebook Live and then playing them at our normal times on Wednesday at WHUS 91.7 FM. We will continue to do this until we are allowed back in the studio on the UConn campus. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Ron's rant of the week, COVID-19. Nah, I don't want to go there again. It's just too much ranting going on here. We won't get too crazy about it. I will do a minor rant about the gentleman that I saw out riding his bicycle with his kids. It was a lovely scene. They all had masks on. The two kids had helmets on, and of course, he had no helmet on, so we won't go into that. I'm going to go move forward to the positive side. I can't take any more of this COVID stuff. Okay, on a positive side, I cannot say enough about the number of kids and families on bikes. It is unbelievable. Fran and I go out and ride our bikes. All we see are people on bikes with their kids. It's the coolest thing I have ever experienced. May is bike month. That's my other on the positive side. I am going to reflect on a few of these deeper into the show. Actually, all of these deeper into the show. And then the other thing that is super positive right now is bike shops are booming. And maybe this is the next bike boom. More later in the show. The maintenance minute. If you've waited this long, it may be too long. Yeah, I'm talking about your local bike shop and getting your bike in for some repairs and getting things taken care of. I would not plan on getting my bike back very quickly right now. I believe that they are booked. I called one of the shops out in the Hartford area on Saturday, I think it was, or whatever, to talk to the owner about, you know, a couple of things that I thought were important. And he's like, Ron, I got people stacked up out front of my store, and he said, I got to get to it right now. So anyway, it looks like the bike shops are cranking big time. So yes, support your local bike shop. No, don't like bring a tragedy to them. Well, whatever. If you need to get your bike fixed, get your bike fixed. That's fine. If you can do it on your own, lovely. More power to you. That's your call. But the local bike shops are booked right now. Just be aware of the fact that you may not get it back right away.
Get this.
Yeah, get what? What do you got?
Your friend Mike Masisco is listening.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? How's everything down in Milford?
He said that there's bike shortages and you should buy before the bikes are gone and there's a lot of stuff sold out.
Interesting. Yeah. Oh, I see that. Yeah, I know. And this is going to be a problem. We're going to talk about this a little bit more as I get deeper into the show because this is a big deal. We have something happening here, which is just so incredibly cool. And it's also going to be really difficult for all of us to deal with. So this is what it is. So anyway, that's my maintenance minute. Get your bike fixed. Get out there and ride your bike because everyone's riding their bikes right now, which is so cool. It's just so incredibly cool. So, moving on to the content of the show. More from one of my listeners out there, and a big shout out to Mike from Eastford. Hey guys, I know you're listening because I chatted with you earlier today.
Guys named Mike listen to Bicycle Talk.
It's all true. You're absolutely right. And guys named Mike ride bikes too, and we ride with them.
So that's good. Mike on bike.
But Mike on bike. So Mike from Eastford talks about autonomous driving is coming. Remember we brought him on the show and we've talked about, you know, the problem with these automated vehicles and all. Well, he sent over some information from the BMW website that talks about cyclist pedestrian distraction. And the new models are coming with laser light headlights that combine infrared cameras that detect pedestrians and cyclists, specifically designed or specifically directing the headlights to illuminate them. This, in addition to specific advances in pedestrian cycling detection combined with automatic emergency braking, normally they're yet, but not there yet, but I should say not there yet, but on its way. The way BMW laser light headlight works is absolutely amazing. Really amazing. So if you want to check that out, I would highly encourage you to go to that BMW website and just see what they're doing, because they're ahead of the game. I don't know if they're completely ahead of the game. I know that Volvo has had this in place since 2013. We won't like come down on any of the other automobile manufacturers too hard, but I talk about this a lot, and I just want to make sure everybody is aware of the fact that, you know, this autonomous vehicle thing, it's going to happen. It's coming our way. We're going to see more of it. So it's, you know, just a matter of time. But BMW seems to have their finger on the pulse, and hopefully they will figure it out and they will send that information around or challenge other manufacturers to you know, compete with them in this situation. So anyway, as promised earlier from the positive side, we got a lot of stuff going on right now. Boy, oh boy, do we have a lot of stuff going on. We've got all this, well, first of all, should I go start all the way to here? Let's start at National Bike Month. This is May, okay? If you guys are out, guys and gals are out there, and you have been following me on Bicycle Talk over the years, every year this year, time of year, I promote National Bike Month. It is actually a promotion of the League of American Bicyclists, and this is the big month because this brings a lot of recognition to us. Unfortunately, we also have a Bike to Work program that goes along with this. You can go to the League of American Bicycles website and you will find out more about what's going on. But I'm afraid that the state gatherings may not happen this year because Bike to Work Week is September 21st. No, it is. Oh, yeah. Bike to Work Week. They're moving it to September 20th, 21st to the 27th, 2020. Bike to Work Day is going to be Tuesday, September 22nd. So, hey, look at that. We're still going to be doing this. But it's still May is Bike Month. This is the time you think about your bike the most because it's a time of year that pretty much across the country, whether you're down south where it's really warm or whether you're up north where it's, you know, sometimes we have a warm day. Yesterday was lovely. A lot of people get out on their bikes. So May is a big, big month. And it is the bike month that we're talking about here. So anyway, it's just going to be a little different this year. That's all. And we'll move it all into September. So we'll see what happens. We don't know. We shall just have to see. But I'm still going to celebrate it as National Bike Month because it's, you know, always has been. So the heck with you, coronavirus. I'm done with it. Anyway, so that's one of our positives I wanted to bring forward. Okay. So here it is. What is happening with the bike boom? There's a lot of talk about a bicycle boom. There's talk that this could be the big boom that we have all been waiting for years, because, you know, in the bicycle business, we always talk about the bike boom back in the 60s and the early 70s, and then we talk about the gas crisis and how that brought so many people into cycling and just put so many people on bikes. Well, here we go again. We got another crisis, and we got a lot of people out riding bikes, and things are going to get difficult, as Mike from Milford just told us. You know, he's got issues with supply already, and we're going to see a lot more of this. So this is from the San Diego Tribune. San Diego bike shops riding high with sudden boom in sales. So San Diego bike shop owners are seeing an unprecedented uptick in business as residents look to stay alive and stay at home orders amid its stay at home orders and are suddenly yearning to peddle around their neighborhoods. Shop owner Dan Zapkowski, who runs Pacific Beach Bikes on Grand Avenue, said, "I've never sold more bikes in my life." It began in March, mid-March, he said, when the stay-at-home order was issued. Public recreation spaces closed shortly after that, and customers started streaming in the doors. Families, couples, individuals, residents who might normally pack up baseball gloves and volleyballs and head out to the beach or park where they're looking for alternatives to staying active. People just want to get outside and exercise. And really, the only options are to walk, run, or ride your bicycle. How about that? So the bike makers and suppliers, they're overwhelmed. And we heard this on a comment earlier this morning. Bike makers are running low on inventory, making it difficult to receive new shipments of bikes for pining customers in a timely manner. A lot of companies are selling out of bikes. This particular bike shop owner spent an hour last night researching new brands and companies that he could introduce to his shop because his suppliers were, they're used to, or they're running out of bikes. So some things are happening out there. Again, if you're looking at a new bike, look now, because you heard it here. It's going to get real, real thin. If you're looking at getting that bicycle repaired that's maybe sitting in the barn or the garage or the basement or wherever it is that you put it, which is horribly unfriendly. Ours live in the family room. Anyway, you might want to, let's check it out. Make sure everything's working okay so you don't have any, you know, dire emergencies out there. But let's get those bikes fixed because eventually, I hate to say this, but, and I don't know, maybe Mike can add on to this. Mike says he's had bike shops call him trying to buy up his stock.
Yes.
Wow. Unbelievable. So yeah, here it is. You know, if you own a bike shop, don't let go of your bikes. You're going to sell every single one you have. I have lived through this. I lived through this when I opened my shop in, here comes my age, in 1978. And I opened my shop right about the time that we had the big oil crisis. And it was, I just couldn't keep them. I couldn't assemble them fast enough to keep them on the floor. And they were gone. Most of the bikes that I brought in for assembly early in the morning were already spoken for and out the door by that night. And then I would just do orders on orders. I had a particular supplier up in Boston, for all of you who remember Ben Olken Incorporated. That's where I was getting my bicycles from. I would pick up the phone at the end of the day. I would place an order and I would tell them that I will be there tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock with coffee. And I would stop at the local coffee shop and pick up coffee and donuts. And the guys at the warehouse would just roll up the big door and fill my van as fast as they could. And I had a big oversized van, so it helped. And I could smush, you know, 25, 30 bikes in the back of it. It was a big van. And I would drive them home and we would just start the assembly process back at the shop. And by the end of the day, they were gone. Or by the end of 2 days, they were gone. So we would, we'd just going through bikes as fast as we could put them together. And it was because people couldn't get gas for their cars. Well, now this is really cool. People aren't putting gas in their cars because they're not driving to work. They're telecommuting. A lot of people are telecommuting. Many people are unemployed. Sad, very sad. But they're not burning gasoline. So the price of oil last week I heard a report, it was -$40. -$40 a barrel. If you had a place to store oil right now, it would be a solid investment to bring it in and put it somewhere. But there's no place to put the oil. That's why it's -$40 a barrel. So it's insane what's going on right now. See what kind of influence it could make if we were just to ride our bicycles instead of drive our automobiles? It's unbelievable how powerful we could be as bicycle people out there. Anyway, little side note there. But yeah, things are happening. So we got to pay attention to that. I've got another local bike shop here. These folks are, let's see here. These folks are in Idaho Falls. And they're running into the same thing. Business is booming. This is Doug Swanson, the owner of Bill's Bike and Run in Idaho Falls, tells East Idaho News that many people are purchasing bikes because it's a way to get out of the house while still social distancing themselves from others. It's just insane. He mentioned something about, I don't know if you drove by the Greenbelt on Saturday or Sunday, but we saw a lot of families out, Swanson says. And that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing on our greenways, on our rail trails, they're pretty busy right now. So please do this safely. Please give yourself some distance. Try to ride safe. And aspiring bicycle racers and pseudo-clad in Lycra crazy people, slow down now. Slow down. If you want to go fast, get off the bike trail and get yourself out in the road where you belong. Because the roads are less populated, there's less cars out there, they're perfectly safe to be on, and it's not safe if you think you're going to ride somewhere between 12 and 20 miles an hour on a bike path. Just don't do it. Don't be stupid. Because what you're doing is you're giving an image that you, the Lycra-clad professional, you have no regard for anybody else. Those trails were built for who's riding on them right now. They were built for families and a place to be safe when you're out riding your bike. So anyway, that's the thing. This bike shop has just been, he said he processes transactions over the phone, and then they deliver. They'll either deliver for free to anyone within 25 miles of where they live, of where their shop is, and or you can meet them at the door and they will do that. We had that experience when we went to see our friends in Glastonbury a couple of weeks ago, and Deb and Steve were at, shout out Bicycles East and Deb and Steve, but they were, bringing bikes outside. No one was allowed inside the door. They were just kind of doing that. I don't know how they're doing bike sales. And if you guys are listening to this, if you could just kind of let me know how you're handling sales. Maybe Mike Machisco, who's listening in right now, he might be able to tell us, how do you handle sales? Because do people just, like, pick a bike out without, I mean, there's no test ride, right? I mean, that has to be over with by now, I would think. So anyway, I'm curious to hear from you. You can comment on my Facebook page, Bicycle Talk, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. And I'd be really, really curious to see what the heck's going on there. So,
they might be able to do test rides because car dealerships are doing test drives.
Yeah.
And the way they do it is by, I think they might cover the car, the interior in plastic, and they do enhanced clean. I think that's how they do it. They just cover everything in plastic, and then they pull it out and clean it thoroughly when they're done. Because you have to be able to do a test drive. In fact, I saw one car dealership that they'll let you have the car for 24 hours just to make sure you like it. So they're definitely doing enhanced cleaning. It must be worth it for them to do. You're probably going to get a spotless car.
Right.
The other thing I'm looking forward to is when it comes time for my oil change, they're probably going to scour my car.
Oh, they did when I got mine changed.
In a way that they don't.
Because I went in to get my oil change, and of course, I keep my sanitizer in the car and all that. And I told them when I handed them the keys, and I handed them the keys in a sanitized wipe.
Yeah.
I just dropped them over, and they went, oh, thank you. And of course, they did the same thing. They wiped them down. Yeah. So. And I said, I wiped down the steering wheel and the latch for the door and all that.
Yeah.
So I said, it should be clean. They said, don't worry, we're going to do the same thing.
Right.
So when I got back in my car after I got my oil change, they came out and said, car's all set. And they handed me my keys again, and they handed them to me with a wipe on them. And I went out to the car. When I went to get in the car, I could smell the sanitizer in the car. You could smell the alcohol.
Yeah, Sure.
So, yeah, everybody's being really cautious. So I'm sure they're doing that at the bike shops, too. I can't see any reason why they wouldn't.
So Billy said that his friend Jim did a test ride of pedal power.
Okay.
And your friend Mike says that they have two people in the store at a time, only if they come together. Everybody's masked. They don't, there's no touch. They have to keep their hands in their pockets. For test rides, bikes are cleaned before and after the test ride.
Nice.
And all helmet and clothing sales are final, no return, and can't be tried on.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, thanks a lot, you guys. Thanks for the feedback. I really appreciate that.
And Billy said it's a lot of phone conversations, masks, and hands off through the door.
Right.
Handoffs through the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's great. So this one I found is from The Guardian. The Guardian is an Australian publication, and they do a lot of cycling on The Guardian. So the article is stated, bicycles are the new toilet paper. Bike sales boom as coronavirus lockdown residents crave exercise. Absolutely. So Australia's, they're having the same thing. So if this is going on around the world and you think you're going to go down to your local ABC bike shop and pick up whatever you need, think twice. This is going on around the world. There's bike booms, not just in the United States, but all over. I think that France and Italy have opened up recreational cycling. Do you remember that, Fran? Spain has opened up recreational cycling again. So people can get out and ride their bikes in Spain. Before that, I mean, the French government was strict about it. They were following Strava segments to make sure that people weren't, you know, out riding their bikes. It was crazy stuff going on.
Do you know that Madeline chimes in that Oakland, California has closed 74 miles of streets that are now available for bike and walkers. Oh, this is not absolutely actually Madeline. This is Mike.
It's actually Mike. Yeah, he shares her account because he's technically challenged.
Okay. Tara.
Yeah. Anyway, he's probably not. But anyway, actually, I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. We talked about the fact that the city of Oakland, California, they got big time double thumbs up from Pedal and Ron on that one, because that's a big deal. And it's happening in other cities across the country now, too. You're starting to see more and more of this going on. And they'll have, because you think about, you know, a place like New York City. And where do people go in New York City on the weekends to ride their bikes? I'll tell you where they go. They go to the same place that they go to walk. They go to the same place that they go to use their inline skates. They go to the same place that they use their skateboards. They go to the same place that they're out running. And it's all Central Park. And it's just not big enough because everyone wants to be there right now. This is a problem. Our parks are overwhelmed. It's incredible. Our park here is very, very busy. It's really cool. What's happening? People are getting fit. People are getting healthy. People are spending, I'll say it, quality time with their kids, not screen time with their kids. Yeah, there's a lot of screen time going on. We get that. But there's also all this great, incredible quality time of being outdoors with your family, with your kids. It's very, very cool.
So it does appear that Italy is allowing cycling outdoors again.
Okay.
Right. I already know about Spain.
Yep.
And I'm going to look up
France. Check France, because I think that there, I have a piece later on, if we get to it, about the Tour de France, and I can maybe reflect on that a little later on. But anyway, in Australia, yeah, it's really, really tough to get bikes because they're having some problems with it. The store has stopped servicing bikes, typically a major source of revenue, because its mechanics are overrun with putting together customers' new purchases. How about that? So, you know, crazier things have happened. I understand. I had the same thing going on during the bike boom back in the 70s with the oil crisis. We couldn't keep up on it. I had, you know, people coming in and helping me assemble bikes, friends of mine who are very mechanically able, who are coming in and helping out, because you just couldn't stay on top of it all. And then people still wanted to get their bikes fixed. So this, they talk about, At Giant Sydney, Marshall says many customers have told him they had wanted to take bike riding, but they didn't have the time or the motivation before now. They talk as though they've been thinking about it, and now the ideal scenario has come up, and they have time on their hands, gyms are shut, pools are shut, so why not get a bike? They predict that they will see a second rush of customers once social distancing measures are eased, consisting of those who have to start commuting to work because they don't want to risk catching anything on public transportation. No one wants to be stuck on a tram in the winter during flu season. That's right, it's winter in Australia right now, isn't it?
That's right.
During flu season, especially during the coronavirus. So public transport usage in Sydney fell by 75% in March, Transport to New South Wales reported, with the fewest number of people using city's rail, bus, ferry network in almost a century. So that's what's going on in Australia. And yet there's more. There's always more. We are now looking at, this is from, this is all a buzz right now. If you go online and you start poking around, you're looking for information about what's happening with bicycles everywhere. It's worldwide. It's an incredible thing. It's going to be wonderful for us all, because it will change. Last week I talked about, you know, this is going to change the thoughts of legislation around cycling and transportation. And we talked about that. There was a great op-ed in the Harper Current about that. So yeah, hang on tight, folks. We are in for a ride here. This is a good stuff. This is from Energy News Network. Okay. The pandemic is fueling a biking boom. Will it last? And this came out about the 16th of April, I believe. And it's noted here, when America's oldest bike shop opened its doors, the Spanish flu was sweeping across New York. More than a century later, the doors of the Little Bicycles remain open, even as New York has emerged as an epicenter of novel coronavirus pandemic. The famed bike shop in Queens is classified as an essential business during COVID-19 crisis, and its phone has been ringing off the hook as New Yorkers under quarantine look for bikes to travel, for travel, exercise, and enjoyment. Business is kind of nonstop, said Sal Belittle, co-owner and grandson of the founder, Salvatore Sam Belittle, a Sicilian immigrant who opened the shop in 1918. Good for Sam. How about that? Stuff. Being third generation, it's funny because I always heard about Spanish flu and was raging when my grandfather opened the store, he said. Nothing's funny about a pandemic, but 100 years ago or now, he added, but it's almost like we've come full circle. And it is true. I mean, a lot of people died with the Spanish flu. It was pretty sad. So as the coronavirus rages across the country, biking is experiencing a renaissance of sorts, according to data from multiple cities and interviews with a half a dozen advocates and urban planners. For biking proponents, the trend is a rare piece of good news amid otherwise devastating situation for public health and the economy. The pandemic is obviously an awful situation, but certainly many people in the biking community are really pleased to see more people out in the neighborhood that they hadn't seen before. And that comes from Ken McLeod, the director at the League of American Bicyclists. So it also comes as a silver lining for environmentalists, who note that the transportation sector represents the country's largest source of planet-warming carbon emissions. Passenger cars account for the bulk of that climate pollution, but with millions of Americans under stay-at-home orders, car traffic has ground to a halt. Social media posts show nearly empty streets in major cities, save for cyclists. Okay, so rides are on the rise as the increase in the biking during the pandemic has become difficult to quantify. But a few cities have collected data on the trend. So New York City, the public bike share program saw demand spike 67% at the beginning of last month between March 1st and March 11th. There were 517,768 trips on city bike compared to 310,000 during the same period last year. How about that? Spokesman for the New York Department of Transportation noted that the increase came after Mayor Bill de Blasio encouraged residents to bike on Twitter. Go, Bill. Plan to have some extra travel time in your commute. The train that pulls up is too packed. Move to a different car. Take the next one. Bike or walk to work, he tweeted. So there it is. It's as it's stated here, a critical moment. One question looms over the resurgence of bicycling during the pandemic. Will it lead to lasting changes in cities that have been long choked by car traffic? So I hope so.
France is going to do some gradually reopening on May 11th, okay, including individual sports. So I'm presuming that you're going to be able to ride your bike outdoors in France on May 11th.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, there's still, I still read a piece of indecision about the Tour de France.
Right.
They're still questioning that. Right. And they're not sure. As it's stated, it is going to happen. But it's that the problem isn't the race itself and the riders in the race. The problem is the spectators, which we don't see here in the U.S. in a bicycle race as much. But they're 10 to 12 deep on the sides of the road.
I know, but what about, because we've been warned that we shouldn't ride in big groups and that you have a respiratory trail behind you.
Yeah, and then there's that. But if all of your riders are tested and screened every day, you can at least take those 180 or 200 riders and have them safe.
Are they going to screen?
But then you're going to have to also be testing the domestiques. I mean, not the domestiques, the soigniers and the mechanics and all the other people that are involved in a team. It's going to be an astronomical effort to make it
safe. That's what I'm wondering, because, given that, I don't know how you can test people. I mean, you can take their temperatures, but you can be asymptomatic.
That's all true.
That's right.
So it's really hard to say. You know, I had a conversation last week with another promoter who is at odds as to whether his event is going to happen this year. And so we were going back and forth, and I went, I'm thinking about the same thing, because if I'm putting on a cyclocross race in the fall, which is generally it's the second Saturday of October in the fall, and this thing starts surging back up again, because that's what they're talking about, is the possibility that it may surge back up by fall. I can't put anywhere from 50 to 100 riders on the line together to start off a mass start race. Right. How can you do that?
Right.
You're not going to be able to. So I am planning on, and I, after talking to him last week, I'm planning on contacting USA Cycling today and saying, so where do I stand here? Should I just cancel it now, or should I continue to move forward? Because again, as you move forward on these things, you have to start contacting everyone that's involved in it. I put my event on in the state park. There's a state permit that's hanging on this. There's insurance for it through USA Cycling. There's people that need to be contacted, that I have a local canoe club that basically uses that part of the park for their canoe events. And it's a busy Saturday, so I have to warn them ahead of time. I have to get volunteers together. I have to get sponsors together. I have all these things that go together to make an event happen. And I don't know if I'm going to be allowed to have the event. And it's just, do you want to put the effort out? Do you not want to put the effort out? Or do you just go, you know what, we'll do it next year?
Well, that's the problem. That's why a lot of events are getting canceled. It's not just because, well, in August, we should be okay. It's not August. It's all the work you have to do leading up to August. And when we're talking about reopening, we're not talking about, okay, everything's back to normal. We're talking about there's going to be big changes in how everything happens and how we do business. And
it may require like an entire different registration table and, spacing people out there. And there's just so many factors that are involved here. I don't know what to do, and I'm going to I'm going to get on the phone with a few more people. Actually, I know Jed's listening. After I get done with the show, Jed, why don't you give me a ring? Let's talk about this a little bit. I'm curious as to what your feelings are on this.
Mike wants to talk to you, too.
And Mike wants to talk. Okay, after I get done here, you can give me a...
Maybe you should conference call with Mike and Jed.
Actually,
Mike
will, he'll FaceTime me because we used to FaceTime back when I was calling on him for you know, bicycle stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you do that when we get done here. All but right. I'll be done in a little bit. I've got another 25 minutes to go. So anyway, I just love to hear his perspective. And I like hearing from you, Mike. You're a good guy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, critical moment. So you know, what do we do here? You know, is this thing going to last? Is this bike boom going to last? Are cities going to be paying attention to this? I have a piece here that came from Forbes, which I thought was really interesting because when Forbes starts paying attention to bicycles, people listen. Well, it's not really the way it works, but you know, Forbes is kind of a big deal in the financial market and they kind of know their way around. Bicycling booms during lockdown, but there's a warning from history. Okay, this was published on May 1st, 2020, and it was done by a senior contributor by the name of Carlton Reed, and he's been writing about transport for over 30 years. And motorists of the world, beware. Of course, they're going to warn the motorists, yeah. But the all-powerful bicycle lobby, were it to exist, except as a parody on Twitter, is coming for your cars. Oh, give me a break. You've got to be kidding. Bicycle sales are going gangbusters. Space for motorists is being reclaimed overnight by global cities installing pop-up cycleways and 1950s levels of motor vehicle and 1950s levels of motor vehicle traffic mean more people are cycling, even on the roads that would otherwise be bumper to bumper with tin boxes. So here he's telling people, the motorists of the world, beware, the bicycle lobby is out there. And it is, it's sort of our own little silent lobby that we have there because our presence is everywhere. I have to say it. We have had motorists. We had a truck yesterday. I can't remember what it was, a Jeep, I don't know. But we were making a left-hand turn onto a road. We were at a stop sign, making that left-hand turn onto a road. And I was at stop, and you were right behind me. And the motorist stopped before he got there. I was waiting for him to go by. He stopped, and he flashed his lights at us and let us go. Out of courtesy, awesome thing to do, and then made the right-hand turn. He could have just put the signal on, made the right-hand turn, and everything would have been fine. But motorists, they don't know how to communicate with cyclists. So this is like so incredibly important. I think this is where our real issue is with bicycles on the road. I think that there's a communication issue between the cyclist and the motorist that it needs to get defined. We need to work on this. This is probably our key effort as far as being a responsible cyclist if you've been out doing this for a long time. But things are going to change. There's a lot that is going to change. Even Forbes magazine is talking about it, so that's kind of a big deal. I have a couple of more pieces here. These are op-eds from Bicycle Retailer, and there's a great piece here that is from Jen Dice. And Jen Dice is, she's the COO of People for Bikes. And she says here, every day we wake up with overwhelming bad news. We cling to government information about infection rates, death tolls, and we watch the economy crumble and our friends in the bike industry suffer. We hope and pray and support our healthcare workers out in the front lines. We latch on to every bit of information regarding when our communities and businesses will reopen. So many of us also wake up to some good news. The widely popular SGN that John Krasinski now streams in our living rooms via YouTube. Check that out. Thankfully, when it comes to bikes, every day brings more than just some good news. Families are biking together, exploring many of them for the first time. Kids are biking around the neighborhoods. How many kids did we see yesterday?
Yeah.
We were riding up Clubhouse Road in Lebanon, mm-hmm. and I look over and I see a dad with kids, a kid or kids, and they're just getting ready to pull out onto the road, and mom there too. And they're just getting ready to pull out onto the road and go ride their bikes.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Yeah.
I just, you know, this will set in stone. I have always been a horribly, highly opinionated person, but I don't know if that's good or bad. But one thing I said, if you want to educate anyone on anything, you start at grade one and you go for a 12-year program, 12-step, 12-year, whatever you want to call it. You go for a 12-year program. At the end of that education process, things will change. Things will totally, totally change. So if now we're taking our first graders and we're putting them out on bikes and they're riding their bikes with their parents and their parents are no longer saying that this is dangerous, go play a video game, which I've never figured that one out. But they're saying, you know, we're going to go out, we're going to ride, we're going to be careful, we're going to teach you how to be safe on the road. Okay. If this happens and they grow up with it and they grow up with the idea that, you know, I really liked it when we were just out riding our bikes, mom and dad, let's go for another bike ride. If this turns into what it can turn, we're not even yet to experience what a real bicycle boom could be. We're going to put our kids back on bikes. Once we put our kids back on bikes, everything changes. One thing that happened in the bicycle industry that I saw over the years, the bicycle industry started to crumble. It started getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Shops started going away. Some of the bigger shops got bigger. Some of the smaller shops just disappeared. Why? Because the electronic industry came in, and I will say it, they decimated outdoor sports. They did a tremendous amount of damage to it. It's not their fault. It's just that they did a great job at what they were doing. And the outdoor industry, as I know it, did not respond correctly or quickly enough. I believe, and this is, again, my opinion, we lost 2 to 3 generations of outdoor kids. And then when they became 20 years old, they didn't look at recreational activities outside as part of their lifestyle. They looked at how much time can I spend on the computer tonight or on my phone. They look at things in a totally different manner. We have this great opportunity that we're changing all this. This is great. Health and fitness, everything is going to get better because of it. And if for those of us who are out there, for those people that are out there, it's not me, that are afraid of a national healthcare system, what better way to enter into a national healthcare system than with fit, healthy people? There you go. You don't lose. It all works. So, families are biking together. They're exploring it, many of them, for the first time. Kids are biking around their neighborhoods. Essential workers are commuting by bike as safer, cleaner options, as a safer and cleaner option for public transportation. All across the nation, we see people, lots of them, who haven't ridden in years, dusting off their bikes and visiting their local bike shops to get back onto two wheels. This is a big deal. Mayors are realizing their citizens need more room to move, and they've been limiting cars and embracing bicycling and walking. Oakland, we talked about before, Oakland's mayor relocated 74 miles of city streets to bicycles and pedestrians. Philadelphia's mayor prohibited vehicular access along a 4-mile stretch of the Martin Luther King Drive, Jr. Drive. And Denver mayor nixed cars from 8 streets to encourage residents to get outdoors while still practicing social distancing. Even if your city isn't reducing access for cars, you are still likely to see an increase in people getting out on bikes. Environmentally, our skies are cleaner. This writer comes and is writing from Colorado. Here in Colorado, the notorious brown cloud over Denver has dissipated. Residents in Los Angeles are marveling at bright blue skies, and health advocates worldwide are saying that the cleaner air and healthier lungs will help people resist some aspects of COVID-19. There you go. In the industry, as an industry, we face an enormous challenge as we emerge from this pandemic, but also an opportunity. We have a chance to help leaders at all levels in this, see the simple, low-cost solutions that Bicycle offers for transportation, the environment, and physical and mental health. Cities have their work cut out for them and already thinking about their resilience and mobility planning post-COVID. Residents likely won't return to crowded public transit anytime soon. That's the big one that I see, and that's the comment that I heard from my son who lives in Chicago, big city. He doesn't want to get on it. He doesn't want to get on a subway or a train. Actually, he uses the train and he uses the buses. He doesn't own a car. He doesn't want to own a car. So, you know, I may get him on a bike yet. You never know. It could happen. So this op-ed says, as a bike industry, it's our turn to lead. Cities won't naturally do this on their own, but we can position the bicycle as one smart solution to some of our community problems. So this People for Bikes is already moving. They know that the most important thing right now is keeping your employees safe and healthy and your businesses recovering. We know that many are exhausted and just trying to keep up. When the time is right, we hope we can join, you can join us two important ways so we don't miss this historical window of opportunity. First, promote Ride It Out, the first in our series of Ride Spot campaigns dedicated to keeping Americans riding bikes. Ride Spot, People for Bikes, digital riding platform is designed and funded by retailers and brands as a united industry to address barriers preventing ridership and meet people where they are online on their mobile devices. Full of powerful content to encourage communities to keep riding, ride responsibly, and promote the power of the bicycle, Ride It Out provides retailers and suppliers with free and diverse collection of images and messages that can promote through their own digital channels. So second, tell your story. When the time is appropriate, write a letter to your city and ask to open more streets and walking for bicycling and walking, lower speed limits and protected bike lanes. Tell them that what you and your business are experiencing firsthand, whether it is the people who never biked before or who are now able to safely commute in the boom in family exercise and exploration of our touring, like mental health benefits biking can provide. Your story matters. There's a big one right there. Lower the speed limits. Bring them down. You're going to drive your car? You're going to pay for it. You're going to lower your speed limit. You're not going to be able to go blasting down a road at excessive speed, 20 or 30 miles an hour over the speed limit, or you're going to get pulled over. You're going to get a ticket for it. You know, it's time. This is the time. The visual is there. We see people on bikes. We see them everywhere. The visual is right in front of us. So anyway, check out People for Bikes. It's peopleforbikes.org, resources for retailers and industry during the COVID-19. So check out the Ride It Out campaign that they have going there. Big shout out to Jen Dice for putting this together. Another person who we had almost had on the show just before we got virused out here, our friend Heather Mason put out an op-ed on Bicycle Retailer. Also, she's done almost everything in the bicycle industry. She's also in charge of Eastern U.S. business and developer Bianchi Bicycles. And Brain is sharing monthly columns from Heather in 2020. And we had spoken on one of those columns a while back, which is what encouraged me to get a hold of her and bring her on the show. But unfortunately, here we are. So we'll work on that. We're still working on that. But the cycling industry, she says, has spent years discussing ways to attract new riders to the sport, marketing plans, programs designed specifically to introduce more people to cycling. Due to the changes in our global environment, we are on the edge of a huge upswing. I agree with you, Heather. You definitely are there. The term bike boom or bicycle craze refers to any of the specific historic periods marked by increased bicycle enthusiasm, popularity, and sales. There have been several bike booms over the years. Time magazine referred to the years of 65 to 75 as bicycle's biggest wave of popularity in 154-year history. The 1990s witnessed a mountain bike boom, and the early 2000s saw an increase in road cycling popularity. The 2010s began to boom again with bicycle sharing and e-bikes coming into the market. With businesses closed, working from home, and homeschooling, cycling is about to transition from the ultra-fit upper-class city commuter warm weather thing to an all-year adventure vehicle for everyone. People are going to see all that is possible with life on two wheels, and they are going to enjoy it. They will savor the whoosh of the wind against their face, the blood pumping in their legs, landscape passing by, and how alive the bike will make them feel. This is a huge potential for the bike boom of 2020. So she notes that spending the last few days on a bicycle herself, exploring old routes, bike paths, and riverfronts, she continues to notice that there are more and more cyclists. Many people are finding themselves drawn back to their old ride. They're now looking for new equipment to get out and enjoy the feeling of freedom. Families riding together shoppers riding to the store, or a simple few miles to clear the head. At times like these, we should not be preparing for business to slow down, but rather for it to double. More power to you, Heather. I agree. I think this is just an incredible opportunity that we are looking at. So anyway, she has some notes here. And if you're a bicycle retailer and you're listening to this, go to your bicycle retailer and industry news magazine, otherwise known as Brain in the industry, and check this out, because she makes some good comments, and she made some really good comments about your bike store last month and what you could be doing to bring more people in and scare more people out. So she had a great article. I'm with her all the way on this. Heavy endorsement here for Heather. Give your the best customer servicing experience possible. This is how you do it. People may be entering or calling a bike shop for the first time ever in their lives. Make the moment enjoyable, memorable, and streamlined. Understand that you may have a bunch of first-time cyclists on your hands. Prepare to equip them with the knowledge that every beginner will need to know. Explain helmets and pumps and how they will need to fix a flat. Adopt your practices and systems. You may have to close your store or alter your hours, but the demand will still be there. Become creative with ways to deliver bikes. We talked about that earlier with some of the local shops around here and what they're doing. Hire people to help. As people are talking about letting staff go, you may be having to think about hiring staff to pick up and drop off bikes, build incoming bikes, meet service demands, or answer the phone. Think about increasing your open hours by extending your phone-in times to answer questions and take orders. Stay open as much as you can. Provide the experience. While we may not be able to gather and lead rides, you can still be a great resource of knowledge. Turn to online navigational apps and map out and share your favorite riding routes. Work with other local businesses to have riders pass by and pick up takeout, snack, or coffee. Give riders direction on local trail maintenance that could be done. Send out a suggested ride to families to take. Go ride yourself and post images with directions on how riders could create their own route. And I will shout out on this one to Ride with GPS. We use Ride with GPS a lot with our club and also personally. If you are interested in routes that are out in our area and you go to the username Pedlin' Ron, that would be me, and you will find a number of routes that are already laid out there that you can ride on. I will warn you, big warning, it's hilly out here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we saw how many feet of climbing in a mile yesterday? 61?
Yeah, 61 yeah. Feet per mile.
And in a 45-mile ride.
And that's not even as bad as it gets.
No, and so it is a little hilly, a little challenging. Just prepare yourselves, that's all. Take your time. You'll get there when you get there. But anyway, provide that experience. Work with your suppliers. Have fun. plan for continued growth. Look at this. This is going to happen. It is something we've all dreamt about. We've all talked about it. We're not ready. We are just not ready for this. Our suppliers aren't ready for this. Our cities are not ready for this. The infrastructure is not even close to this. If you have the ability to do it, get involved. Get involved in your local bike group, maybe your local bike club. They might have something going on here. They may have some advocacy. Maybe you should do some interviews with a few of the bike clubs and find out which ones are more supportive of advocacy and which ones aren't. And then maybe support them. So that would be a good thing. But anyway, you know, this is where we're going. This is definitely where we're going. And there's no stopping it right now. I don't see this coming to a very quick halt. I'm going to end this podcast today with a little bit of information. Not a lot of information. This is from Cycling Weekly, which is the British journal, and it says the Tour de France could still be held in August, but with restrictions in place, says the French Sports Ministry. The French Sports Ministry also wants to continue to extend its ban on sporting events until September. So I just don't think this is going to happen, folks. I'm bummed. I will say I'm totally bummed. As are fans of soccer, fans of baseball, fans of football, fans of all different sports that are out there. I mean, you can't even go and bring your kid to a Little League game right now. It's not right. Happening. But what can you do? You can go out and ride your bike with them. That's a really good thing. So
Billy just told me that the closer to free ride, it's going to be virtual.
It is.
They don't have any details on that yet.
And I got a piece from Richard Fries this morning that the Best Buddies ride, they're doing a similar format on that one too. So the Best Buddies ride, which starts really soon normally, is not, but they're going to have some online segment stuff so you can still donate money to it and, you know, you can still promote and support the event. Another thing that I'm going to throw out super quick and then I've got to get going is, you know, you can always set up your own page and collect money for your local charity. And just say, hey, I'm going to go ride my bike 15 miles today. Can I get $1 a mile from you? And see how many people will do that.
Yeah.
You can set it up on Venmo. You can do a lot of things. So that brings us down to the calendar. We don't want to talk about the calendar. The calendar is grim. We don't know about the calendar. So I'm just going to leave the calendar alone right now because we just don't know. So finishing this up, the bike boom. Is it real? Are you ready for bikes to grab serious interest? What are you doing in your town to prepare them for what is coming? And then there is Bike Month. This is the time to present your passion to your local governments. People are riding, and they're riding more than any of us would ever have imagined. The growth of family cycling is beyond anything we could have ever imagined. Your thoughts, please. You can leave them on my Facebook page or send me an email. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. My name is Pedlin Ron, and you've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this on Facebook Live, on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, or on podcast, we would like you to comment and send us an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. And you can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. If you'd like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, we're working on that, you can send me an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedlin Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs. Thank you for listening.